got a few more questions on this chapter, like just little things that I'd like to bring up and see what they turn into. There's a piece here, you're talking about a girl that you miss in Las Penitas. And you say, you took all of me into you, my whole heart, my whole being, my hurt, my longing. You took all of me inside of you, Lucia, without asking for anything in return, healing me, and I had missed you so. And the word that sticks out there for me is healing.
Mm-hmm. We said early on in these conversations, in these sessions, that there's a healing aspect. I don't know our relationship with our childhood and relationship to mother who was not nice to us and various things. Others can comment on the psychological issues of how we are and where we are today. But there is a healing spirit of someone who gives and takes simultaneously and allows you to be you, allows you to put your head down and drop all the games and drop all the, and be authentic and just be real and just be small, be quiet and be tired. And they take care of that. They take care of you. There's a healing aspect for sure in the female spirit. That's why these thundering men's groups that are trying to claim some kind of power back in contention to the feminine, not in conjunction, in alignment with the feminine, and not usurping the feminine by saying, oh, we're that too, because we're not that. We're men. It's a beautiful thing to be. Without that healing grace, any type of men's movement is misguided and will fail and will be Mad Max apocalypse. You know, it doesn't work.
Do you think there's an element, because we know hundreds of guys between us that are leaving their native shores to go and look for their dream woman, the broad, mm-hmm. you know, the exotic island girl, the alabaster girl. I wonder if there's an element of that guy in that search who's actually leaving to find his own healing, in a way.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
I would say I'm one of them. Yeah.
You're on a big walkabout. You went on a walkabout for years.
I would definitely say I'm one of them.
Yeah. You imagine there'll be a healing?
At some point, yeah. I think there's more to come. The nine days was amazing, for sure. And you were talking about before getting in touch with your metaphysical body. I'm far more in touch with my metaphysical body just from those 9 days than I've ever been in my life. So the journey is definitely part of it, you know. The journey is a part of your renunciation comes with that. It's renouncing everything that's expected of you. And you sang it earlier at lunchtime, you know, you go traveling. As soon as you see another one of your kin from back home, you avoid them.
Yeah.
An Australian, you mean? Like, yeah.
For me, it's an Australian.
Yeah.
And for him, and Rich, it's from the UK. It was probably from Canada.
Yes, for me, it's from North America, too.
North America, whatever. You know.
Run and hide a little bit.
See a bunch of Australians. Stay over there, you're fine. But you don't want to go back. You see the light, you don't want to go back. And for me, that healing comes as it's your balance. It becomes your balance.
Yeah, you're dedicated to that moment for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, Jordan, sorry to cut you off there, but I don't necessarily think that it's the exotic element that kicks in. It's that we have, as Owen said, there's some part of us that made a renunciation, and we left home and hearth. We left something behind, our comfort and what we're used to, and we went elsewhere. Your island girl could be in Cincinnati.
Right.
You know, right next door.
Yeah.
Right? But because we're our routine is there and everything's there, it's not as pronounced and drastic of a thing to to renounce your habits and the way you are in Cincinnati. But the guy from Cincinnati, he gets up and goes to Bali.
Yeah.
That's a life-shaking manifestation of renunciation.
I think it's the thing of the hero's journey. You know, and our pirate friend from France in the 17th century and you and me and you, that there's a sense of, oh, the hero's journey cannot be done at home, cannot be done
right.
in the back garden, so I need to go somewhere else. And it's that somewhere else, anywhere else, where the encounter happens.
Yeah.
And then we can come back home and sit in our garden, fundamentally different, but the same.
Yeah.
Sit on your porch with your girl.
Monomyth, Joseph Campbell.
I get the sense listening to you. You talk about those 9 days and like we can hang out as a brotherhood and have a lot of fun and give each other a lot of insights and feedback and so on. But I get the sense that what was started in your journey will not be ended until your mind, body, heart, spirit
aligned,
united with your alabaster girl in that alabaster moment.
Yeah, it's there's an alignment in 3 and the 4th would be the woman, which could be any girl.
You're remarkable, Owen, in that you've constructed your entire life to be able to be on the search. Everybody wishes for it. Every guy wishes for it.
Yeah.
But you, like, he talks about going to the United States after this to seek out some other kind of understanding over there. And you're instantly like you're vibrating with, I want to do this too. You're it's incredible.
If it resonates, then I'm in.
You head straight for it.
That's
a beautiful thing.
Even if it's like to kick off, I was in Las Vegas at another workshop, and I went there, and I didn't actually. It was just. I got an invitation to go there. I seem to go by the invitations.
Good man.
Anyway. I got an invitation to go there and I thought, well, I'm only going to go there to have a good time. And I went there to have a good time and I got one of the most amazing insights. It just sent my brain into a reset or something anyway.
Mm-hmm.
From there, it's just snowballed. Like, it was incredible. Best move I ever did. And then you invited me to come here to Bucharest and now I'm here doing this. I stayed.
I stayed to do this.
And it's just, it just keeps... And then you were talking about Boulder and that, and that's resonating with me. So my next journey will be to head there when my time runs out here.
No hesitation. I love it.
Just
flip across the world to someplace else because that feels like you're the next part of the journey. That's incredible. Most men could learn from that kind of like, it's not reckless abandon.
It's just determination.
It's very focused. You don't know where your journey's taking you, but you're dedicated to your path. That's a beautiful thing.
It's the one thing.
Very powerful.
It's the one thing that if there's a, and it's like a vibration, it's a resonation.
Yeah.
Something about that I need or want. Maybe both.
Maybe I'm reducing it to the same words, but I'm stuck with this idea of that being a healing.
Yeah.
There is a healing place at the end of this journey. And thinking about any hero's journey, it's like just the lengths that we'll go to find that moment.
Yeah.
Like 3 years in the wild from town to town to country to headbanging against the wall again and again and again and again. And then finally, there she is. There is that moment with that goddess who changes everything and makes all the pain and the worry go away. And all of those sleepless nights make sense.
And we have this modern notion that it's us in this Western civilization that has this dysfunction and this trouble and need healing of some kind. So we're all medicated to the Yahoo. You know, we all got, you know, counselors and shrinks and everything. And yet, and then we have this romantic notion that the primitive tribes didn't need all that kind of stuff because they were already one with the earth, right? But look at what, you know, you talk about the, for instance, the ayahuasca experience that came out of the Amazon, that's to them, before we even stumbled upon it, before our civilization ever collided with theirs, was a healing plant. It's a healing plant even for them. So that sense of healing is a universal. It's a universal concept, a universal need, and that feeling for that. It's not just us and our you know, modern generation and our modern.
Well, I wonder what would happen if we all made the most of each other, like the potential of humanity. If everybody had good sex and intimacy without playing games, like what would that do? We all know how much of a better mood we are when we turn up after having good sex the night before, right?
The population exploded.
Utopia.
Yeah.
Shangri-La.
And I don't want to go any further without saying the other side of the symmetry on this. It's like, as much as we know that there's a generation of men traveling the world looking for some kind of beauty that now doesn't seem to exist back home, or is very hard to find back home because of the way our society has gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we're lost Peter Pans looking for Divine Mother to heal us, you know, of our childhood wounds. There's also a massive role that we play in the lives of women that we go to as well. And this has been one of my, like, learnings that split me apart as a person. You know, as a young man, I'm out to try and get all these experiences and get women and get love and get
healing,
sex,
from women, yeah.
Get healing, get.
Yeah.
And at some point along the line, I realized, well, actually, in this interaction, it was two ways. She got as much from me as I got from her, and then, whoa.
What a thought, huh?
Yeah.
That's your healing too.
I've got a role
the
to play in this
are,
life.
Are expanding someone on the other side of the spectrum. That's incredible. What a thought.
I've got another point. You talked earlier in the book about the first stage of man or whatever. He's thinking, does she like me? Does she like me? And then he's saying, do I like her? I think there's perhaps a higher question, which is, are we bringing out the best in each other?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm feeling this aliveness and she's not, or vice versa, however noble your intentions, that's not a good energy.
You see, like the whole book is that concept that we've got a role to play. Beauty needs a witness.
Mm-hmm.
We can't wait for women to do the work and be nice to us, and now all of a sudden we're going to, you know, step up and we've got to be proactive in this.
Mm.
We can't wait. We can't wait for other men either.
Yeah.
We can't wait.
You have to lead.
Wrote here, there's a paragraph you say, when we talk about love, maybe we only mean one thing, to be loved.
Mm.
Maybe all of our discontent in affairs of the heart is really just the longing for someone to desire us, for someone to find us lovable. Men spend their time and money on accumulation of things. Women concentrate on outward appearances. It is all for one thing, for one goal, to finally be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this whole conversation we've been having these days and this whole book is the recipe for actually being the person that can give that to someone else.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, incredible.
And then seduction.
Symmetry.
Yeah. And seduction then moves beyond the age of the pickup artists and the getting phone numbers from bars and one night stands. Turns into the way that actually, because we're sat in these big questions here,
mm-hmm.
we've got this gift, which is actually we can really, really see and love somebody else.
Mm.
Yeah. That feels like the key to the land of women.
Yeah.
Ta-da!
Yeah. Makes sense to me.
Yeah. Again, I think back to higher questions we talked about, most thoughts of this idea of returning to childhood as wonder. Like, not an expert, but it seems like the only thing all religions and philosophies have in common is the idea of, you know, you love others if you want to be loved yourself. And if you're talking about here, we all really, our deepest needs, we want to be loved. The mirror, the symmetry of that is, are we giving that same to other people? Are we loving as much as we want to be loved? Or are we taking? Or are we loving more?
So you've been gone from the guy answering all the questions to just sat here wondering what we're talking about.
I'm liking this. I'm listening. I really like it. I'm not going to add. I've said enough. I've talked enough. Mm. You know, I've said stuff. And I'm just sitting and enjoying the great expressions, the great way of speaking your... I just like listening to you guys.
It's what you're doing for us, right?
Yeah, I'm happy to sit here content, just to relax and listen. I like it.
You've already written what's true for you.
But it, yeah. But it's new. And it's all new for me, too. What we're talking about here, this is the edge.
Hmm.
This is the edge of the understanding. There's something more, something further to explore. And the realizations and the wholeness and the completeness that you said, it came together over a few days, and it gave me this realization, gave me this aha, gave me this concept. Mm. Is strong confirmation that there's greater things to come. As long as we stay connected to the path, stay connected to this journey, and always be the students that we are. It's beautiful.
None of this is scripted, but we're just thinking out loud. And we started off with our quotes underlined, and now we're just throwing it all away.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's bigger than this.
It's bigger than this.
Wasn't the idea of philosophy that we'd sit down and talk about the best way to live life?
Yeah.
That was the way that it started out in Greece. What is the best use of my time and my attention here on this earth?
The perfect note.
That's what we're doing here, talking about the best way to love.
And the best way to have a relationship with ourselves, to move through life and like ourselves, you know? It's a great thing.
I like it. There's one more thing in this chapter, The Way of Love. You talk about these three circles that we've got, the notion of meeting, approaching, the notion of dating, and then the notion of relationships.
Yeah.
And a lot's been said in each of these different circles, but you wonder what the whole thing is called.
Yeah, that was interesting to me. I've been thinking about that for years.
Because it can't be as simple as love, you say, because what about children, family, pets, football team?
Yeah. There was a word that was invented in 70s, which is the newest term that I know of, to describe, and really it's the butterflies that this term is called, limerence. A woman invented this term. I can't remember what kind of science she studied, but she had the term limerence, which means that butterflies in your stomach, that infatuation is a form of. So she had that term. But that still doesn't, you know, and we say connection, maybe. I talk about it there. Maybe connection, all connected together, you know, connecting with a woman, and that's the big word. But we connection's too broad.
Yeah.
What describes the experience of the whole thing? What's everything called? Because everyone on earth is in one of those circles. They might be there by choice. I want to be single and I don't want to meet anybody. I'm a hermit. You're still in that circle then. Or you're dating, trying to figure it out, making forward thrusting motions into the world to try and connect with somebody, or in a relationship. You're trying to sort that out, trying to keep that going, and trying to have the best kind of relationship you can. And we vibrate from circle to circle. It's just a thought I had.
So here you've called the whole thing Asamarata.
Yes. That's my fake Latin term that I embraced years ago. Ars Amarata. Fake Latin. Invented by a reporter who misquoted me and said, with Ovid's book of poetry 2,000 years ago, the Ars Amatoria, which is the book of the art of love, which is true Latin. She misquoted and said Ars Amarata, and I absconded with it and used it as my relative trademark ever since. So yeah, that sounds like a good term. A lot of presumption in this, huh? Yeah, I'm going to invent a new term too.
Because why not?
Sounds fun to me. Yeah.
Love to get your thoughts on, because the Ars Amarata is the name of this whole philosophy.
Yeah.
The book's The Alabaster Girl, but there's a philosophy in a community which has been your life work for a number of years. Along with Hans, along with
and others,
many others, And we've had this conversation that's gone from what is beauty to how do I meet girls and what is the best way to date, and all the way up to this final conversation about Jung and symmetry and Hermes and the stars and the soulmates and all this kind of stuff.
And tiny map.
Yeah. What is your hope for Aza Murata and for the collection of men and women that are gathering around? Yeah.
My selfish motivation for this entire thing was to try and fulfill something I didn't have, as I've repeated throughout these sessions, as a young man, some kind of a guidebook or some kind of a philosophy that I could attach myself to that seemed to be, that had all the requisite beauty, but also the requisite masculine mischief in it too. You know? So it has a great balance, and it's a fun, beautiful way to move through the world. So my perfectly selfish ambition was to create something that I wish I would have had. Now, my broader, more altruistic, which it's still off of me anyway, it's still my own motivation, is that someone else might be able to get that kind of understanding before they have to go through all the trouble and the games and the misguided experiences, and that a better conversation arises. Because I want that for women too. I want women to meet a better generation of men who are standing on the earth full force. And so with Aza Murata, I mean, it came out of like my desperation to understand girls, really. And it became bigger questions in my mind as in your minds. And if that can roll out there and people can embrace that, say, I want to understand that too, then it's no longer mine. It's something that is like invented and or cobbled together out of, you know, pieces from here and there and different philosophies and ideas over years and years and years, and talking to women for years and years and years. And a translation of women's, of the mindset of women and the hearts and minds of women so that men can understand. Because that's really what it feels like to me. So if this rolls out there and you guys go to your cities and you tell others about what your realizations, it's a beautiful thing. That's my desire for Aza Murata. Yeah. Becomes a better conversation.
One of the things that excites me about getting involved in this project, and I've known about it for a while, was this idea that you can reinvent or return a view of love. And we've got this concept out there called memes now, people sharing ideas,
right.
And internet is all viral and people are changing their perceptions. And for anyone that's sat through this and there's a lot of hours here and come to this point, it's great maybe for us to sit in the question of how would we like the next 10 years to be? We've had this decade of game playing and minds manipulation. How do we move everyone together to this level of authenticity, connection, symmetry, vulnerability, openness, love, rather than this superficiality, ego, self-gratification?
Yeah, and you see exactly, sit in it yourselves, because I've been saying from the very beginning, and certainly this, the Way of Salvation chapter, if you read it, that's a call to action. That's a call to arms. It really is. It's a call to leadership. It's to my young self, like, stand on the earth and go and do thou likewise. Go and lead that 10 years. That shift in the next generation, the next thought process. I talk about all the ages of love and how we had different, very real eras in concepts of love, you know, in the Western society, of course, in other societies, it's different, but there's always been variations, and the next variation is going to come. So we can either, it will come from a conversation like this where we lead it. So, and that's not me. That's not me doing it. I'm lazy. It's guys like you who are saying, hey, I want a better experience, and I'm going to share that with others. And let's go, gentlemen and women. Powerful stuff.
So I think we figured out the way of love.
And we've almost done another thing too, right?
It's a flow, it's symmetrical, it's a Jungian archetype.
It's paradoxes.
Yeah.
It's no certainty. Maybe love is.